This is Men's Health Live from Men's Health Magazine.
Oh, yeah. It's Men's Health Live. Another week, another Saturday. We've got another show for you where the guys from Men's Health Magazine and menshealth.com, we actually have a great, great show for you. I'm looking at the cover of this month's issue of Men's Health Magazine. Kevin Hart on the cover. We did a great interview with him a couple of weeks ago. If you missed it, you can go hear it on iTunes or menshealth.com. Why are you laughing, Spitzy?
Greg, it sounds to me like you're doing Alec Baldwin doing Tony Bennett.
It's a great copy. I was thinking that too.
Should I be flattered by that?
I think so.
You should be flattered.
Yeah. Or something. Yeah. I just wanted to mention that I also have a cover of next month's Men's Health in my hand, and I can't tell you who's on the cover.
Yeah, don't. No spoilers.
How'd you
Greg.
Get that?
Hey, Ixnay don't you have it? Cover.
Call back.
What Andrew just did there, yes, it's called it.
All I can tell you is it's a pretty famous guy.
Yeah. Oh! I wouldn't even say.
Do you think I gave it away?
No, pretty famous.
I'd say he's firmly. Yeah. I think this might be our most famous cover.
No,
if you have
no.
to,
I don't know.
If you
there,
have
Greg,
to tell my mother who it is, and you don't have to tell my mother who this is.
So. Yeah, I don't think there's anyone in America who doesn't know who this gentleman is.
No, wow. You know what? I could produce someone who would look at that and go, "Who is he?"
That's
and
true.
That person is my wife. She
really?
Would. She would not have a clue.
Okay, yeah. we're getting dangerously close to revealing something.
Should we see,
that's true.
Should we see how far we can go?
we're already so close to getting pink slips right now. Just
oh, let's go a little further. All right, well, this is Men's Health Live. I'm here with Paul Keita, Andrew Daniels, Eric Spitznagel. I'm Greg Stebbin. And I just wanted to say it's this month's cover and this month's issue is awesome. Next month is equally interesting.
Good-looking magazine.
It's a good, you should be proud of what you do, gentlemen. That's all I want to say. You should be proud. Now, we've also got a great show this week. We're going to talk about a lot of fun stuff and some serious stuff, too. The serious stuff is, as everyone knows now, the verdict has come down in the American Sniper murder case. And we're going to talk with Laura Beale, who wrote a really phenomenal story about Eddie Ray Routh, he's now guilty of murder, the murderer. She wrote a great story for Men's Health about him and PTSD. Wow, how was that for a slip-up? And that story has actually been turned into an ebook called The Enemy Within. You can get it at menshealth.com and anywhere ebooks are sold. It's called The Enemy Within. We're going to talk with Laura later in the show. We're also going to talk about what would happen, single guys, and I guess married guys, if you're so inclined. What would happen if you gave every girl you met in a bar your phone number? Would it up your odds? Well, you're going to find out because we had a guy do that. And we're also going to offer weight loss advice for gym haters. So if you want to lose weight and you hate going to the gym, we're going to tell you how to do it. And it's a proven method. It was proven by a guy on the Today Show. All of that and more right here on Men's Health Live this week. But you guys actually wanted to talk about some pretty weird stuff.
Weird. I don't
know
about that. So, why not? Right? Yeah, we can handle weird.
It's Saturday. We're
Saturday is for weird. So I'm not sure where to start here. On one hand, somebody wanted to talk about how to turn yourself into a human sex toy. That's not weird, but how to do it is pretty weird. And
what is that not a topic of conversation?
Well, it's how this is a how to have an implant to become a human sex toy. That's the weird part. The principle is a good one. The other
I'm still
thing.
I'm not seeing how this is weird, Greg.
Yeah. Do you want to have an implant?
Isn't this a common
there?
Hope and desire for every guy?
Yeah.
The implant
a
part?
Sex toy?
Vibrating penis, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
I think so.
Well,
grow up going, someday we're going to have robot maids and jetpacks and penis is going to be.
I pretty much just grew up hoping that I would actually get someone who wanted me, so the vibrating part was way beyond my greatest dreams. So
to love you, Greg.
I just wanted to be loved. And that's all I want now, as you can tell, as the host of this show. I'm begging for it with every word I say. So What's the story?
I have a question. How many, if you went to a bar with a vibrating penis and started handing out
your numbers girl,
how many numbers, if you're like, oh, no, that's the tables moving because of my.
Is the right answer all of them?
I'm sure some women are like, that freaks me out that your penis is bionic.
But this is the future, Spitzy.
The future? Oh, so, yes. Yeah, like the Blade Runner, weird, kind of dark. And
So I want to make the point here that this is a story at menshealth.com called How to Become a Human Sex Toy. This guy wants to give you a bionic vibrating penis. And Andrew Daniels, we are going to put you on the spot when we come back from the break because you're the guy who thought that this was a fascinating story. And
this seems like a... This seems like a bigger story that Andrew got on a bionic penis. Than
okay. I can't wait.
All right. This and more. We're Men's Health Live. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Barrett Jackson, the world's greatest collector car auction, returns to South Florida Fairgrounds in Palm Beach, Florida, April 17th through the 19th. Hundreds of amazing vehicles will once again cross the auction block. Be a part of the three-day lifestyle event and the energy that is Barrett Jackson. That's April 17th through the 19th at the beautiful, sunny South Florida Fairgrounds. Tickets are available at Barrett-Jackson.com. That's Barrett-Jackson.com.
Welcome back to Men's Health Live from the world's best-selling men's lifestyle magazine, Men's Health.
Welcome back to Men's Health Live. We're on Twitter at @men's_health_live. You don't write out the underscore, by the way. You just type it in as one symbol. @men's_health_live on Twitter. Men's Health Live is brought to you by Craftsman, America's most trusted tool brand, made to make. We are, of course, the guys from Men's Health Magazine and menshealth.com and if you go to menshealth.com right now, you'll see a story published by our very own Andrew Daniels and Eric Spitznagel from menshealth.com called How to Become a Human Sex Toy. This guy wants to give you a bionic vibrating penis. And guys, give us the backstory on this.
Yeah, and first, before we start, I just want to say, you know, as a representative from the magazine side of things, thank you, Webb, for exploring these important topics.
Yes.
And you said, right, this is only like the 19th weirdest thing you'll see on the site this week, by the way. Yeah.
What's number one?
You'll just have to find out.
Yeah. Okay, go to menshealth.com and you can see.
Like
so
do.
This is number 19 on the list of weird stuff. All right, that's great to know.
A safe environment for
talking
about
this.
Exactly.
And when I first heard about this guy, I thought he was a little bit nuts. And after reading the interview with him, he's still
he's actually even more nuts than I initially thought.
But he makes some interesting points.
So why don't we tell the listeners what this guy's deal is? Basically, he, like Greg said, wants to give you a bionic vibrating penis. Not he himself,
right?
Or maybe he does. I don't know. So
he's
an inventor that predicts that his vibrator implants will become the norm in the maybe near future, certainly the distant future, at least if you want to join in on the multiplayer online orgies. And Greg, you just told us that you're an avid reader. You've read this story at least 5 times today, so because you're super stoked about it.
Well, I had to read it because the pictures were disappointing.
So what were some of the more salient points?
Well, I mean, the thing that's interesting is this is a guy named Rich Lee, and he calls himself a biohacker and a transhumanist and a space gangster.
That's a hell of a business card, actually.
And that's my point.
And also,
available for bar mitzvahs is the fourth line.
And brisses, by the way.
Yeah.
So the thing is, when someone says to you, I'm a biohacker, a transhumanist, and space gangster, is he the guy you're going to hire to put a transplant down there to make you vibrate?
Yes. Yeah, who else?
I make sure that my medical professionals, that their resume reads like lyrics from a Steve Miller band
or a William Gibson novel, one or the other. Yes.
Yeah. He wants to have it done where you don't have to go
to the doctor. At a tattoo shop.
That's amazing. Because I want to have a surgical incision by, you know, a couple of guys who didn't graduate from high school.
And then I'm going to go down to the Subway sandwich shop and get my dental work done.
Right. So it's an implant that's inserted beneath a man's pubic bone. And the whole goal is to what? To not
The whole goal is to what?
Well, yeah.
We're trying to get to the
please.
Heart of like, why you want your penis to vibrate.
To get a vibrating penis. So,
From what I understand, it's to help you have extra orgasms. The dude to have extra orgasms, to provide the woman with more pleasure, and it just looks badass. It just looks really cool when your penis is like.
Look, I have trouble starting my computer in the morning. Like, if we haven't fixed the spinning wheel of death, and this is going to be inside of me. What happens if this thing malfunctions?
Just soft start. Just do the whole Control-Alt.
Yeah, there you go. Well, fortunately, it's a Mac and not a PC, so you don't have to reboot very often.
What situations would you be in where you would absolutely not want this to go off, right?
Thanksgiving, yes.
Dinner, Thanksgiving church. Funerals, yeah.
How about going through security at the airport?
Never do you want that to happen.
The best thing about this, guys, though, is also the name for this device. I don't know if you can remember the name, but it's the Lovetron 9000, yes. Which sounds like the perfect name for a device invented by a guy who calls himself the Space Gangster.
A Space Gangster, yes. Yes. And why isn't it the Lovetron 7000? Why is it?
I don't know.
And is it 89.95?
Yeah, there were still a few bugs with 89.95, but the 9000, perfect.
Who would get this? You know,
see, that's the question.
The porn stars of the future, or
well, it depends on price point. So yeah. This is something that you can't remove, correct? It's something that sticks inside you. That's a little dicey. If this is something that you could kind of
it's stuck inside you by someone at a tattoo parlor. So right. Just keep that in mind. We're going to take a break. We will come back. We will talk more about the Lovetron 9000, which will also give you the website where you can get it.
I think I made my piece.
I'm Greg Stebbins. I'm here with Paul Keita, Andrew Daniels, Eric Spitznagel. This is Men's Health Live. We'll be right back.
On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street-legal replacement tire yet. The new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance.
Welcome back to Men's Health Live. I'm Greg Stebbins. I'm here with Paul Keita, Andrew Daniels, Eric Spitznagel. We're the guys who bring you Men's Health Magazine, menshealth.com. And on the menshealth.com website is a story about a guy who wants to give you a bionic vibrating penis. He calls himself a biohacker, a transhumanist, and a space gangster. And so, guys, how on earth did this guy make it to menshealth.com?
Also, just before we dive in, do you guys remember when we used to write about abs?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just like...
I remember that.
Those are the glory days, like, right?
We can get those implanted now, right? And they vibrate?
Vibrating abs!
Yeah.
It's a fitness? Fitness.
Yeah, I think fitness and nutrition?
Yeah. Now it's just fit.
Yes. How did he end up in Men's Health? He hacked us, pure and simple.
Post his own story?
No, it's a part of our job as editors is to see what's going on out there, and there are various people looking at various sources and saying, "Hey, you should write about this person." So I happened upon this fellow who seemed kind of insane. So I found a writer,
who would have
an interest in such things, and said, "Would you talk to this space pirate and see what his ideas are all about?"
No, space gangster, not pirate.
Space gangster. Very important.
Yeah. Transhumanist.
If you ever call
biohacker, he's not a pirate. He's not a pirate.
Yeah.
That's like.
No eye patch, no skull and crossbones. He's a space gangster.
It's entertainment.
So when I read the story the first time, the next thing I did was look over at my calendar to see if it was April 1st. Is this is there any chance that this is guy? That's what I want. He really is a real guy?
Yes. Oh, he's absolutely a real guy, and he really does want this to happen, and he seems to have some – you know, have thought this through.
Okay, I'm sold. How much is this going to cost me?
That is.
But
the,
wait, there's more. Did he? No, did he? Did he give a price? Do we know? Can
he
we
did
get
not
this
give
today?
A price. No. Oh,
okay, is this available
ready.
On? What's that web?
It's not just an idea in his head. It's something okay. that exists.
You mean it acts, you know. So could we go and fund it on Kickstarter?
Could you personally? You would have to set this up with him.
Oh, okay. Oh, so there is no Kickstarter project or anything like that?
Not currently.
Okay. Does it take micro USB or is there a dock?
Well, there actually it does talk in the story about how long the rechargeable battery lasts. And the good news, bad news is the battery actually lasts longer than the purported battery life of the new Apple Watch.
Oh, fantastic. So Apple will now be coming out
the Apple penis.
The iPad.
Well, the Apple Watch will share your heartbeat and this shares something similar. Let's just
guys, it's a
It's interesting. It's not just penises. Yeah, I mean, he's trying to replace a lot of our needs in general. What can we do to no longer be hungry or no longer be fatigued and how to manipulate our senses?
Paul, how do you feel about us never being hungry? You're the food and nutrition editor at Men's Health.
I would be out of a job.
Yeah,
that's how I feel about it.
It's like, why does this guy keep talking about
the space gangster overlord?
These mushy things that go on plates. Yeah. That's so last generation.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it seems like if he wants to eliminate the need for hunger and thirst, he might also want to eliminate the interest in sex, which would be contrary to the Lovetron 9000.
Yes. Look, when you have a Lovetron 9000 strapped to you, also, you don't have time for food.
No, you really don't.
You don't have time for other interpersonal.
You've got to find a way to have replenish those calories all the time.
I'm wondering, you know, because robots are becoming more and more prominent every day. Like, what happens when the Lovetron 9000 becomes, like, sentient and just takes over?
Wow.
Right? Like,
well,
soon.
Now it's getting silly.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
Wow. Let's Dave. Keep this within the realm of possibility.
Dave. This is your penis speaking, Dave.
I don't want to speak for
I'm
him.
I'm sorry,
but I don't
Dave.
Think he's suggesting getting rid of taste or eating. He's saying he wants to get rid of hunger. And, you know, he wants to just focus on the enjoyment. Of tasting something rather than like, oh, I'm so hungry, I'm going to fall over now. He wants to get rid of the need to eat.
Right.
And just like, you know, a guys don't need, like, I got to have four orgasms tonight. One's a really good orgasm. It's fine. You don't need to have, like, multiple ones. It would be great. But not necessarily, like.
Boy, you know you'll sleep good that night.
Paul's looking at me very oddly.
All right. So this guy, his name is Rich Lee. He describes himself as
Rich,
a biohacker.
Rich Lee.
Yeah. He's a biohacker, a transhumanist, a space gangster. He is the inventor of the Lovetron 9000. And you can read about this and more at menshealth.com. I actually want to change gears.
You can. Before you do, Greg, though, it's worth noting that penis technology in general has gotten very weird and very wonderful in recent years. Spitzy can attest to this, too, because he did write a story about lab-grown penises. They aren't just science fiction anymore, right?
Yes, that's true.
Were they science fiction before?
You never read that one?
No, I missed
that. C.S. Lewis?
That's C.S. Lewis.
Yeah, I'm sure C.S. Lewis, yes.
Yeah, it's very Orwellian.
Yes.
We're getting to a point where... You know, if you lose your penis, or say you're dating someone, it's like, I'm going to cut off your penis and then drop it in the woods.
I think they call it doing a bobbit,
right? I'm just going to get a new one.
Doing a bobbit, yep.
Yeah, doing a bobbit. Wow.
But it's exciting. Wow. It's exciting the world that we live in because even, you know, 5 years ago, the lab-grown Frankenstein penises were but a...
And they always had that horrible-looking set of stitches going up the side. All right, so I was going to actually change gears a little bit here because we're going to talk about it after we take a break. I'm looking at a headline from ABC News, Three Pregnant Dads Meet the Men Wearing Empathy Bellies. I'm Greg Stebbin with Paul Keita, Andrew Daniels, Eric Spitznagel. This is Men's Health Live. What do you think about three sort of simulated pregnant guys? We'll be right back to talk about it.
It's time to streamline your tools with the Craftsman C3 19.2-volt cordless system. One C3 battery helps your tool work longer and powers over 30 different tools like the Craftsman C3 19.2-volt hammer drill. The compact hammer drill pushes out up to 515 inch-pounds of torque to handle even your toughest drilling and driving projects. A Jacobs metal ratcheting chuck and an LED work light makes this hammer drill durable and versatile. Craftsman, made to make. Available at Craftsman.com, Sears.com, Sears, Sears Hometown, and Sears Hardware Stores.
Welcome back to Men's Health Live. We're the guys who bring you Men's Health Magazine, menshealth.com, and we're talking about a story. Well, we found it on ABC News. Here's the headline. Three pregnant dads meet the men wearing empathy bellies. Guys, what do you think about this?
Well, unofficially, just to start things off, I'm really pleased that the direction of this show's theme has been things that men insert into themselves or strap on to themselves.
Willingly insert. Yeah.
Important issues.
That was not a mistake, by the way. That was completely planned. Yeah, that was a strategy. So,
empathy bellies.
So
if they call it something else, like the empathy belly 9000, then I can get behind it.
Or an empathy beer belly, that I could get kind of excited about.
Yeah.
So, Greg, can you just the basic gist of that? This is three British men who are strapping on these 33-pound empathy bellies for 1 month straight leading up to March 6th, which is when Mother's Day is in England. And they're doing this why exactly?
Exactly.
A publicity stunt for publicity their book company or something like that. I have very strong opinions about this. I think it's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
That's a hot take, yeah.
Makes me feel so much better because I think so many things I say you think are dumb. At least I know the bar has been set.
I'll take the vibrating penis over this. You know, how dumb this is. Here's why I think this is dumb, and I'll explain why it's dumb by comparing it with something else. Say you have – sorry to bring it down this way, but say you have a friend who has cancer. And he is struggling with cancer. And you go, you know what? The best way to understand what he's going through, I'll take some chemo. I'll take some chemo too. Hey, now I know what you're going through. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Why don't you be a friend to that person and help them rather than why is strapping on an empathy belly? How is that helping anything? Like, oh, you're right. It is difficult to do this.
Yeah.
Oh, going through chemo is difficult. Why?
Well, it's also just the weight part of it. Like, these men aren't lactating.
No morning sickness. Yeah. Right. No lactation.
The emotional surges.
Mood swings.
And it's for a month. It's not for 9 months.
Exactly. And it's just for the
dumb
book.
And as far as I can tell, they're not going to push that 33-pound weight out
of their bionic penis.
But what's the end goal here? To go like pregnancy is difficult?
Yes.
I know that.
Really?
I trust all these women.
Now, okay.
I've lived with a pregnant woman. I know it's difficult. The best thing you can do is just go like, "What? How can I help?"
Yeah.
And not go, "Hey, guess what? I'm feeling it too."
Hey, what's the what's the women equivalent of women? So what would women do to feel empathy for men? Like, what would they
strap on? I got it. Yeah, it. The inappropriate boner.
Okay, yeah.
The
morning
wood. Oh my God, I got to stay at my desk.
Well, nobody's asking for this, right?
No.
Nobody is asking for a greater understanding for the weight that women are carrying around when they're pregnant. That's not the point. You know, but I do applaud these guys for trying in some way to be more relatable to a situation where, I'm never going to know what it's like to be pregnant. You know, at least they're taking one small step, and they're not just being like most of the guys out there being like, who cares? You deal with it.
Well, wait. You think
it's admirable to bring.
You think most guys say it's your problem, deal with it?
Well, look, we'll be there for the pregnant women, right? But how many of us really – let's say these guys put on 33 pounds – somehow, through the help of the guy who invented the Lovetron 9000, they also figure out how to lactate. They get morning sickness. Who here in this room would sign up for that? You know?
Not at all. I think there's a middle ground.
Wait, is there a reality TV show contract that comes with that?
I feel like what Arnold Schwarzenegger movie was it where like it found like they found out like he could have kids or something? Or am I making that up?
Yeah.
Junior. Is that twins?
Mr. Mom.
Junior, Mr. Mom? One of those things. Junior.
That's Michael Keaton.
Mr. Mom was Michael Keaton.
No, Junior is just he had – who's the short actor?
Danny DeVito.
Yeah.
That's twins.
That's twins.
Yeah.
Maybe Junior.
In the background, by the way, you hear our own personal IMDb, Jason, the producer, who can produce the name of any film on call.
We're not solving this problem at all.
Yeah, okay. Like, sorry to bring that up.
All right, so I get the sense that, I mean, Eric, you have actually been a father. You've been married to a woman who was pregnant.
And I continue to be a father.
Yes, and you continue to be. And you think this is pretty darn stupid.
I don't see the end result of it. I don't see you can empathize and sympathize with people who are struggling with things without actually – here's another way. I knew this couple friend. I had a couple friends in California who whenever she would get sick, shortly thereafter he would get sick as well. And I've had that happen where my wife gets sick and I get sick shortly thereafter. But I've started to suspect with him that it's a – That he just liked the attention. He just wanted to have the sympathy. Mm-hmm. And this feels like, oh, you get, you know, you're pregnant. Well, guess what? I can be pregnant too.
Can I make a suggestion? Call your friend and assign him the story of wearing the empathy belly for 9 months, not 1 month, and he can get all the attention he wants for a long, long time. Wow, that left you guys speechless. All right, we've been talking about three pregnant dads. It's an ABC news story. Three pregnant dads meet the men.
And an ABC sitcom, too, sounds like.
Three pregnant dads.
By men.
Meet the men wearing empathy bellies. I'm Greg Stebbin. I'm here with Eric Spitznagel, Paul Keita, Andrew Daniels. This is Men's Health Live. We'll be right back.
The 2015 Dodge Challenger SRT Hellcat features a supercharged engine that delivers a whopping 707 horsepower, making it the fastest and most powerful muscle car ever. And with its iconic styling, power, and attitude, Dodge Hellcat SRT has everything a driver could want. And the passengers? Well, there's that little handle above the window. Born Dodge. Challenger based on Ward Specialty Segment and Car and Driver Quarter Mile Time. Dodge is a registered trademark of Chrysler Group, LLC.
This is Men's Health Live from Men's Health Magazine. Here are your hosts, Peter Moore and Greg Stebbin.
Welcome back to Men's Health Live. We're the guys who bring you Men's Health Magazine and menshealth.com. We've talked on the show a number of times with Laura Beale. She's a contributing editor here at Men's Health. We've talked to her about a story she wrote about a man who is now has a household name. His name is Eddie Ray Routh. He has a very complicated relationship with another man who's a household word, Chris Kyle. Chris Kyle, of course, wrote the book American Sniper, of which the film was made about. Laura, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So you wrote this article for Men's Health, which was later turned into an e-book called The Enemy Within, about, well, who's the enemy here?
Well, the story kind of focused on Eddie Routh and his 2 years after he left the military. And I talked with a number of his family members and described in the article his mental decline over that time and his family's efforts to try to get him care up until even the week before the murders, which was the last. He was released from the VA days before the murders occurred.
And, of course, we're talking about this now because the trial this week came to a conclusion, and Eddie Ray Routh was found guilty of murder.
Yes.
So when you titled this e-book, and where do people find the e-book if they want to read it?
Any place e-books are sold. It's an extended version, really, of the article that appeared in the magazine. So a lot of the content overlaps. It's just in more detail. But you know, Amazon, iTunes, you know, Barnes and Noble, any.
Wherever fine ebooks are found, are sold.
Whenever ebooks are found, it's there.
I was giving you wherever fine ebooks are sold.
Yes.
Yeah, and. So I remember reading the story, and I really want to get into this because I think people need to know that there's a much bigger story here than what they saw in the movie, what they read in the book, if they read the book, and what they've heard during the trial. The title, The Enemy Within, I'm guessing that the enemy could be a number of people and institutions. Am I right?
Well, part of the story, the undercurrent of the story, is the failure of, in this case, the VA to give him the care he needed. At the time I wrote the article, the only definite diagnosis I knew was PTSD. One of the things that came out in the trial as we got a more complete picture was that really his major problem was schizophrenia in addition to PTSD. And, you know, he still is not going to get treatment because now he's going to prison, which... right before this, it's interesting, I looked up some statistics. A report came out last year, and at the moment we have 10 times more people with mental illness in our correctional system than in our mental health care system.
Say that again.
There are 10 times more people with mental illness in jails and prisons than there are in state treatment facilities. And Texas is one of the biggest, actually, for that.
And you're in Texas. We should clarify. You live in Texas. You actually live near Chris Kyle and where Chris Kyle lived and where Eddie Ray Routh and his family lived.
Yes, yes.
So this is local. This was a local story for you as well as a national story.
And
I remember reading the story, and again, this is captured in Laura's ebook called "The Enemy Within." We're talking with Laura Beal, who's a contributing editor here at Men's Health. I remember reading in your story, and at that point, we didn't know what the verdict of the trial would be. We knew that Eddie Ray Routh had killed Chris Kyle, and and remind me of it's Chad
Littlefield. It was his friend who was with him that day.
Right. I just remember reading that one could make a lot. I mean, you hear these kinds of stories and you make assumptions that these are bad people from bad families. Mm-hmm. But from everything I read in your article, Eddie Ray Routh's family did everything they could to get him the help he needed and frankly deserved as a veteran from the VA, and they got almost nothing.
Yeah, I think that's one of the sadder components of a very sad story, is that his parents had been trying to get him care for some time and could not. And you know, one of the jobs the jury had to do is, I mean, he clearly had some mental problems, is that in Texas, you know, you can't just be mentally ill. The jury had to decide whether what he did that day, whether he knew it was wrong. Mm. It's not just, they weren't deciding whether he had mental illness. They had to decide whether he knew that his, whether he was aware of his actions and knew they were wrong. And that's a hard thing. I mean, they had a hard, you know, they had a hard job to look into someone's conscience and make a decision. So I don't envy them. They did have a tough job. But the fact is, he did have a 300-page medical record of attempted care. And you know, I doubt in the prison he's going to get any better than he would have at the VA.
So in a perfect world, what kind of care should Eddie Ray Routh, as a veteran, as someone who is suffering from PTSD and maybe it sounds like other mental illness, what kind of care should he have gotten from the VA, and how does that compare to the care he actually got?
Well, you know, his family never felt like once he was in the system that he was ever paid attention to. They felt like they would take him. They would wait. He would be one of the crowd. They would give him some pills, and they would send him home. And this happened over and over again. He was hospitalized a couple of occasions, but he would. They felt like he was never seen as an individual. And one of the sadder things about this is the first person that his mother remembers saying, "I'm going to do everything I can to help your son," was Chris Kyle. And so they never felt like he was ever getting any kind of attention.
So that must make that must make this even harder for his family.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't spoken with them, but it's hard. I mean, it's hard to believe that anything would make it harder. Their son did a horrible thing, going to prison.
Fair enough. And I don't have any way to judge this. It's never happened to anyone in my family, and I pray that it never does.
Yeah.
But you did.
I think they just felt helpless. They felt helpless, and they felt desperate.
Yeah.
And now I'm...
And I'm guessing they felt abandoned.
Yes.
I'm talking with Laura Beal. She's a contributing editor here at Men's Health. She's also written an ebook called The Enemy Within about the whole, really the backstory behind the Chris Kyle murder and the murderer, Eddie Ray Routh. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Laura, I want people to understand more about PTSD. I'm looking at a headline from USA Today just a couple of days ago. The headline says, American sniper trial likely to increase stigma of PTSD. Let's help people understand it, and let's help remove the stigma instead of seeing it become even more stigmatized. I'm Greg Stebbin. This is Men's Health Live. We'll be right back.
Are you stressed, depressed, isolated, or even angry? There's no need to struggle alone in the darkness anymore. Patriot Outreach is an organization lending support to our warriors, veterans, and their families who suffer from the effects of post-war trauma and stress. U.S. Army's Colonel Tony Monaco discovered a very private, simple, non-intrusive tool that's helped him immensely in overcoming extreme adversities, and it can help you too. It's confidential, it's effective, and it's powerful. To learn more, go to patriotoutreach.org and let the healing begin.
Welcome back to Men's Health Live from the world's best-selling men's lifestyle magazine, Men's Health.
Welcome back to Men's Health Live. We're the guys who bring you Men's Health Magazine and menshealth.com. I'm talking with Laura Beal. She's a contributing editor here at Men's Health. She wrote a story for the magazine about Eddie Ray Routh, who, as we all know, this week was found guilty of murdering Chris Kyle and his friend. Remind me of his friend's name again, Laura.
Chad Littlefield.
See, isn't that terrible? We all know Chris Kyle's name, and poor Chad is, you know, almost forgotten. And Eddie Ray Routh is almost forgotten because, as you described in your story, he had a tragic story to tell as well. I mean, he was a veteran. He was in the Middle East. He came back with PTSD. His family believes he never got the care he needed, and the end result was he turned a gun on these two men who wanted to help him, and he killed them both, now found guilty in a Texas courtroom earlier this week. Tell us about PTSD, and tell us who might suffer from it. Do you have to be someone who is a soldier in combat, or could it happen to any of us?
Oh, it can happen to anyone. I mean, we focus on soldiers and those who have gone to war because, clearly they are at risk, but it can, I mean, there are civilians also with PTSD. Any kind of traumatic experience can lead to it. And there's a whole list of symptoms and criteria, like, you know, intrusive memories and flashbacks and you know, changes in emotions. And but anyone can have it. And, you know, one of the things that the VA has done is recognize, I mean, it's certainly at greatest risk if you've been in combat, although I think they say now that you don't have to have a direct combat experience to have PTSD.
You mean even by serving, you could be near the combat lines and still suffer from PTSD?
Yeah, I think so. But they have removed the criteria that you have to have a proven event in combat to get a diagnosis.
What kinds of civilian things might trigger PTSD?
A car accident. You know, let's say you're in a car accident and you've feared for your life.
What are the symptoms that typically manifest when someone is suffering from PTSD?
Well, I think one of the things that they talk about are sort of, recurrent memories that are intrusive that you don't want to have, or you have upsetting dreams, or you have triggers. There's a scene in the movie American Sniper where he hears a drill, you know, and it kind of sets off a memory. So
this is Eddie Ray Routh who has this memory triggered by a drill.
No. This is in the movie Chris Kyle.
Oh, Chris Kyle. Okay.
Yeah, has been it. So, I mean,
So Chris Kyle also, it is believed, suffered from PTSD?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. I think that's one of the things that the movie makes clear, too, that it's difficult You know, he had problems coming home and adjusting back to civilian life. And I think that's one of the things that the movie really portrays really well, is the struggles that you know, these men and women have when they come home and try to, you know, reintegrate into the lives that they had and their change because of the war experience.
And, of course, the family they come home to and the friends they come home to, unless they've been to war themselves, can't fathom that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
So if I know someone who I think may be suffering from PTSD, or something has happened to me and I think I may be suffering from PTSD, what would I do?
Well, I think you should go to whatever, you know, mental health professional that you trust. If there's, you know, your doctor or, you know, a counselor, or if you're part of a, you know, if you're a veteran, I would still recommend you try the VA. I mean, there are veterans I talk to who have gotten very good care at the VA. So even though Eddie Rouse's experience was pretty bad, you know, it's not that way across the board. You know, I don't want to generalize too much. There are veterans who get excellent care in a VA. So, you know, I think it depends on what resources are available to you. But I don't think you should just assume that this is going to go away.
Go away.
And,
yeah,
you can kind of will it. You can will it be gone, because it's really not. It's really something that you need professional help for.
Yeah. We've been talking with Laura Beal. She's a contributing editor here at Men's Health. She also wrote an ebook about Eddie Ray Routh based on a story she wrote in Men's Health. Eddie Ray Routh, of course, this week found guilty of murdering Chris Kyle and Chad Littlefield. Did I get that right? Chad Littlefield?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. The ebook is called The Enemy Within. You can buy it wherever ebooks are sold. Laura, thanks for joining us. Thanks for talking with us about PTSD, the verdict, and sort of the demons behind what was probably driving Eddie Ray Routh to do what he did. I'm Greg Stebbin. This is Men's Health Live. We'll be right back after the news.
Where does the love for a car come from? If the car is a Subaru Legacy, the answer would be the symmetrical all-wheel drive. Power goes to all four wheels all the time for optimum grip. The Subaru Boxer engine's lower center of gravity makes the Subaru Legacy more responsive around corners and gets better fuel economy than front-wheel drive competitors. What you have then is a midsize sedan with grip, handling, and enviable fuel economy. It's no wonder it turns people into people who love cars. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.
This is Men's Health Live from Men's Health Magazine.
Welcome back to Men's Health Live. We're the guys who bring you Men's Health Magazine and menshealth.com. And speaking of menshealth.com, Kelsey Cannon is here, one of our favorite fitness writers from Men's Health and, of course, menshealth.com. You write a lot.
I do, and that's quite the accolade. I think I'll take favorite fitness writer, put that on my resume.
Well, wait a minute. I don't want you making everyone else here upset with me. But, I mean, you write a lot, and I love the stuff that you write.
Well,
you
great.
Do a great job.
Thank you very much.
You can see Kelsey's stuff over at menshealth.com. And, oh, by the way, I will mention, come follow us here at Men's Health Live on Twitter. We're at menshealth_live. We'd love to have you following us. So, Kelsey, you have this story up at menshealth.com. And here's the title. I just have to read the title and the subject and I just have to read the title and the subhead, because it says a lot and it raises a lot of questions. But the title is Weight Loss Advice from a Guy Who Hates the Gym. Okay, I'm already intrigued. How to Lose Over 10 Pounds in a Month. Sounds even better. How to Lose Over 10 Pounds in a Month If You Love to Indulge and Loathe Lifting Weights. So are you really going to deliver on this?
I hope to. I don't have to deliver, because it's already been done by a man named Jeff Rosen, who works for NBC and the Today Show. Mm-hmm. He is their national investigative correspondent over at NBC, and he managed to lose 12 pounds
wow.
in 1 month,
wow.
and he is a self-proclaimed gym hater
wow.
and lover of things like chicken parm.
And so is he an on-camera guy?
He is.
So his job really depends on him staying fit.
It's true. It's true. And he is, you know, he's the everyman. He's an active His work life is active. His family life is active. So he is not active. You know, he doesn't have time to get to the gym all the time. He doesn't have time to eat healthy. It's much easier to pick at his kid's grilled cheese sandwich than it is to make himself a nice, healthy dinner.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So he created this plan himself, or he got some help?
Oh, he got roped in. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, give us the backstory.
He was a begrudgingly roped in at first, and okay. I think it's really transformed him. I've had the opportunity to speak with him twice, once he was halfway through and once he was finished. So his colleagues at NBC were starting this program called Start Today,
okay.
And it's a program run by the Today Show, and it's about taking action right now.
Okay.
So start today. Don't wait for Monday.
For starting today.
Exactly.
Start
don't
today.
Wait for Monday. Don't wait till after the weekend. Just start right now. And his colleagues thought he would be perfect.
Did they think he would be perfect because he was starting to look like he needed to lose some weight?
He was feeling like he needed to lose some weight. He said his clothes were fitting a little tighter. He was feeling winded getting to the top of stairs and things like that. So
and say again what his name and his title again.
It's Jeff Rosen.
Okay.
He's on the Today Show, and he is the National Investigative Correspondent.
Okay. So he's got a big job.
He does. And he explained to me that his job can sometimes consist of him sitting in a car on a stakeout for hours at a time or flying across the country more than once during the day.
Wow.
You know, he's a busy guy, and he is, you know, in that sense, a little bit more than the everyman.
So he needs a mindset change as much as anything.
What he needed was small lifestyle tweaks that are totally manageable to work into your own schedule.
But if you don't have a mindset change, those little tweaks are not going to stick.
Exactly. So, you know, it's kind of a chicken and egg situation. Sometimes the mindset change comes after the tweaks are enforced upon you.
Fair enough.
And sometimes the mindset change comes before. And I think for him, it was a little bit of both. He was ready. He was eager to get started once he kind of got roped in by his colleagues. And he really took it all the way. You know, he put all his effort in, and he lost 12 pounds in a month. That's intense.
And you really don't want to lose much more than that.
No, absolutely not. That's really manageable weight loss that will, you know, essentially stay off if all goes well.
So we're talking with Kelsey Cannon. She writes for menshealth.com. She's one of the fitness writers over there. And the story is called Weight Loss Advice from a Guy Who Hates the Gym. This guy in particular is actually the investigative reporter for the Today Show over at NBC. So this is a smart guy who's motivated because if he looks fat, it's bad for his job. The subhead of the story, which I think is really a clincher, is how to lose over 10 pounds in a month if you love to indulge and loathe lifting weights. And this guy lost 12 pounds in a month. And it's the story is just full of some really great information. And we're going to get into some specifics after we take a break. But Kelsey, this is actually a plan that you would give two thumbs up to for any of our readers.
Absolutely. It's totally responsible. And it wasn't created by us. Actually, it was created by the fitness correspondent at the Today Show, Jenna Wolf. She's a phenomenal trainer, and she put together a great program that's both easy to follow and responsible, so you can lose weight without, you know, risking injury or always being in the gym.
He's the investigative reporter for the Today Show. I mean, if anybody has a lifestyle who's not going to make it easy to get to the gym and eat healthy, this is a guy who's constantly on the run. If he can do it, you can do it. I'm Greg Stebbin. This is Men's Health Live. I'm talking with Kelsey Cannon. When we come back, we're going to get some specific tips about this story. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Barrett Jackson, the world's greatest collector car auction, returns to South Florida Fairgrounds in Palm Beach, Florida, April 17th through the 19th. Hundreds of amazing vehicles will once again cross the auction block. Be a part of the three-day lifestyle event and the energy that is Barrett Jackson. That's April 17th through the 19th at the beautiful, sunny South Florida Fairgrounds. Tickets are available at Barrett-Jackson.com. That's Barrett-Jackson.com.
Welcome back to Men's Health Live from the world's best-selling men's lifestyle magazine, Men's Health.
Welcome back to Men's Health Live. We are, of course, the folks who bring you Men's Health Magazine, menshealth.com. We're talking with Kelsey Cannon about a story she has written for menshealth.com, Weight Loss Advice from a Guy Who Hates the Gym, How to Lose Over 10 Pounds in a Month If You Love to Indulge and Loathe Lifting Weights. So, Kelsey, you're saying this is really possible, and we can find out how to do it at menshealth.com.
It's absolutely possible. And, you know, where the workout plan and nutrition plan actually exist are on the Today Show website.
Okay.
But we do have a link within the article that can take you right to it. You know, all the workouts for body weight workouts, they're all things you can do at home.
Or in a hotel room.
Or in a hotel room or in a parking lot on a stakeout, as Jeff confessed that he did at one point. You know, the nutrition is easy. It's not, there's no major lifestyle overhaul. The one difficult thing that I think might be hard for some of many people, I suppose, is that during this month, he was not allowed to consume any alcohol whatsoever.
Okay. And he didn't.
So he didn't.
And he is, again, remind us, he's Jeff.
Jeff Rosen of the Today Show and NBC Nightly News. He works for them as well.
So he's an on-camera guy.
He is an on-camera guy. You know, looks are very important in that regard.
Yes.
And, you know, he was noticing.
No place to be a fat boy.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. You know, when you notice your clothes are starting to fit a little tight and you're on national TV, you know.
Don't we say isn't the theory the camera adds 10 pounds?
Yeah, exactly.
So if you're putting on 20 and then letting the camera add 10, that's a bad place to be.
Yeah,
it's
a tough situation. And, you know, he wasn't, you know, wasn't by any means looking grossly unhealthy. Mm-hmm. You know, he's an average guy.
But if he didn't make a change, he was going to probably start looking grossly
unhealthy. Yeah, if you keep traveling in any trajectory of gaining weight or eating unhealthily, you're going to end up there one day or another.
Okay, so did he do and what do we do?
So what he did is he followed these workout programs. You know, the number of workouts he did per week varied based on his very busy schedule. Mm-hmm. One thing he said he adhered to absolutely every day was wearing a pedometer.
Okay.
And he said to me, he said, I promised myself I would never be that guy wearing a pedometer. But
you can hide it.
Yeah, but now he swears by it.
Wow.
He absolutely swears by it.
Was he doing 10,000 steps?
He's doing 10,000 steps a day, and he said that small goal made all the difference for him.
Because it got him in the mindset.
It got him in the mindset, and he said he found himself pacing his hotel room around midnight one night.
Just to hit his goal?
He realized he was 2,000 steps short, and he wasn't going to sleep until he finished.
I remember years ago, we did a story in Men's Health, and I don't remember who talked to him, but it was Arnold Schwarzenegger talking about running stairs in a hotel room.
Oh,
just
man.
Because he needed a workout, and that's what was there.
Sometimes you just got to do what you
got to do. What you got to do.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so he walked 10,000 steps at least a day,
mm-hmm.
and you said he did a lot of body weight exercises. What kind of stuff?
You know, things like bear crawls and burpees, jumping jacks, body weight squats, things of that nature. You know, all those exercises, which you can find on menshealth.com.
Of course.
You know, they're all super easy. They don't take any space. You know, you can do them any place like a hotel room, like your bedroom, your living room, you know.
And you said he was even doing these in a parking lot.
Exactly. Yeah. He said at one point he was on a stakeout and, you know, realized he didn't quite have his steps. He didn't have his workout in. So he got up and he moved around a little bit.
Well, that was something I was going to ask you. If you have a really fragmented day, so let's say this guy, Jeff, it's Rosen, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what if he's able to do 5 minutes of exercise here and 5 minutes there and another five? Does it have to all be done at the same time? Or
no.
Does it work to break it up if that's what your schedule requires?
If that's what your schedule requires, doing any amount of exercise is going to be beneficial, right?
Okay.
So, you know, if you can get 5 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes around lunch, and, you know, maybe 10, 15 minutes at night, that's perfect. You know, that's a whole workout.
So the Today Show thing, start today. Literally start, even if you don't have time to do a full workout now, start today, do something now and keep going and do everything that you can.
Exactly.
All right, let's talk about the food part of this. How did he change his diet?
So he changed his diet. You know, he said he was, you know, doing the chronic dad thing, picking apart his kids' grilled cheese, eating leftovers, things like that. You know, things that aren't healthy. And he said he really loves certain foods that are really just not good for you, like
chicken parm sandwiches,
you know, bread and cheese and breading, all that stuff. But he said he really doesn't miss it now. He's gotten used to eating healthily, and all he did was make simple changes, like trading, you know, his chicken parm sandwich for a turkey sandwich. And then one thing he did that I loved, this tip that he gave me, was I had never heard it before, and I think it's great, is that you take a sandwich and you take the top piece of bread off the sandwich and you just have an open face sandwich.
Or fold it.
You still get
the
taste of the bread. You still get a few carbs to kind of get that full feeling, but you don't need the other piece of bread. He said really all the other piece is for is just so you can hold on to your sandwich.
And I would guess, I mean, you're a fitness writer for Men's Health. This is what you do all day, every day. But I would guess that if you just make it a rule for yourself to make a few simple changes like that. After a while, it just becomes a habit. You don't even think about it anymore.
Absolutely. So one story he told me that stuck with me is he made so many of these small tweaks that at the end of his weight loss month, the end of the plan, he was back to being a free agent if he wanted to be. One, he was planning on continuing. And two, he was making cookies with his kids, and he had a bite of one, and that was it.
That was enough. That's he what said, happens when you start eating well. You don't even want all that.
Exactly. He said just the taste of a bite of the cookie was just fine for him.
That's awesome. We're talking with Kelsey Cannon. The story is called Weight Loss Advice from a Guy Who Hates the Gym, How to Lose Over 10 Pounds in a Month If You Love to Indulge and Loathe Lifting Weights. The story's at menshealth.com. Kelsey, thanks for being here. And coming up next on Men's Health Live, more great stuff from this month's issue of Men's Health Magazine.
On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street-legal replacement tire yet. The new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance.
Welcome back to Men's Health Live. We're the guys who bring you Men's Health Magazine and menshealth.com. We're on Twitter at menshealth_live. Come find us. Come follow us. We got lots of great stuff to share with you. And if you flip through this month's issue of Men's Health Magazine, you'll see a letter from a Men's Health reader named Charlie. Charlie lives in Washington, D.C. He wrote in to say, "I have been searching for a new home, but I always end up being outbid. How can I beat the competition?" And we thought here at Men's Health that if we wanted to help Charlie and everyone else who's trying to buy a house, who would be the best guy you could get advice from but Chris Polycrone, the president of the National Association of Realtors. Chris, welcome to the show.
Alan, great to be with you.
So you are the president of the National Association of Realtors. You're like a very powerful guy.
Well, I don't know about that. I'm still just a realtor that lists and sells property, and I just happened to have the honor of leading our some 1,100,000 members, and it's quite an honor.
I don't know if I'm legally required to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. In full disclosure, I'm one of those members you just referred to.
Wow.
I had no idea. And by, I think you're in North Carolina, correct?
That's exactly right. So,
Being a realtor from there means a lot.
Well, it's great to have you here. I'm listening too because I'm sure you have a lot I can learn from as well. But our reader Charlie, Men's Health reader, who wrote in to say he keeps getting outbid for new homes. What advice can you give, Chris? You are the president of the National Association of Realtors. If Charlie was your client, how would you help him be the winner instead of a constant loser?
Yeah, and you know, I'm assuming perhaps Charlie could be a first-time home buyer.
Yep, probably true.
And if not, because I say that because as a first-time home buyer, it could be a little more difficult because, A, he probably wouldn't be a cash buyer.
Mm-hmm.
And let me qualify that. Today, in today's market, in any market, when someone's going to pay cash, you know, it cash is king, and that's, you know, a cliche, but still, it has a lot of truth to it. So what we have to do is be able to act quickly. And let me give you a specific example. I oftentimes, with my own clients, if I'm previewing a house on a caravan where we go look at a lot of new listings, et cetera, through your multi-list or your office, and I see the house that my client's been telling me about, I'll call them from that listing while we're looking at it for the first time. I've told them in advance. I've said, sometimes you got to act quickly. Can you do that? If they will act very quickly, you can be the first one to make that offer, and it often will put you in first place immediately. Now,
so let me interrupt for a sec. So we're talking with Chris Polycrone. He's the president of the National Association of Realtors. one of our Men's Health readers, Charlie, in Washington, D.C., wrote in to say he keeps getting outbid on houses. How can he make sure his next bid is the winning bid? And Chris, what you're saying is Charlie's problem may not be being outbid. It may be a matter of timing instead of bidding.
Could be, and I mean that because, you know, a lot of agents are going to, and you're a realtor as well, a lot of times I even tell my clients, you know, a lot of if I'm the listing agent, that sometimes your first bid is going to be your best bid too. So there's no phobia that they might ought to wait on the next listing, on the next offer. That first offer may be the one that they should take immediately, especially if it's a good offer.
It's Paul Keita here. I'm the food and nutrition editor at Men's Health, so I'm mainly concerned with the kitchen in these places. But seriously, you know, I went through this experience of home buying about 4 or 5 years ago, and you said this word phobia. And I think especially when you're a first-time home buyer, it's an extremely scary process. But your advice in sort of taking that initiative, sort of having this no-fear approach, a no-fear calculated approach, of course, you're not just getting into this willy-nilly, is such a strong tip because I feel like a lot of people are scared to put that offer in. But the longer that they wait, the worse off they're going to be.
Absolutely, especially if it's a good listing. If it's a nice home that and choosing the right realtor is very important, and I mean that. You know, when you work with a realtor, and I'm the president of the National Association of Realtors, but we do require that our realtors abide by a code of ethics. We do accentuate more education. So pick a realtor with experience. When you're interviewing that realtor to help you, make sure he has good local knowledge of the market.
Chris,
and all
I
of that
interrupt
can
you
help
too, because
you
just
buyer.
said something really important, which I think a lot of people never thought of. And we're going to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about how do you interview a realtor? What do you ask? And does what you ask depend on whether you're buying or selling? And in a way, when you said that, Chris, and we're talking with Chris Polycrone, who's the president of the National Association of Realtors, it made me think of advice we give here at Men's Health all the time, which is you also have to interview a doctor because you want to have a good, solid, strong relationship here. When we come back, we're going to talk about how to have a good relationship with a realtor and what to ask. This is Men's Health Live, and we'll be right back.
The Craftsman C3 19.2 volt 3-speed impact driver boasts 3 user selectable speeds to help you get your project done right. The low speed setting helps with projects that require precise control. Medium speed prevents overdriving, and the high speed will give you the power and speed to get the job done fast, delivering up to 3,500 impacts per minute and over 1,600 inch pounds of torque. Craftsman, made to make. Available at craftsman.com, sears.com, Sears Hometown, and Sears Hardware Stores.
Welcome back to Men's Health Live. We're the guys who bring you Men's Health Magazine and menshealth.com. And we got a letter from one of our Men's Health readers, Charlie. He lives in Washington, D.C., and he wrote in to say, I'm trying to buy a house. I keep getting outbid. How do I beat the competition and be the winner next time instead of the loser? And on the line with us is Chris Polycrone. He's the president of the National Association of Realtors. And we're really talking about beyond just being the winning bidder, how do you, first of all, make sure you're working with the best realtor for you? And, Chris, you have some really, really great tips on that.
I am going to give you some. And first I will tell you that this is kind of interesting that 68% of all realtors' business come through referrals, personal referrals. So let me expand on that. That could be from when you're seeking advice on what realtor to choose, you might want to ask friends, families, neighbors, And then there's also realtor ratings out there where we actually rate ourselves. But I recommend that they interview several realtors so they can get one they're comfortable with. I think that's important. But I think some of the things they need to look for are important as well. I think, A, it's very important that they have some experience, not to say that they couldn't have been trained well in a larger firm, but make sure they have experience, make sure they've sold homes in the neighborhood that this particular buyer wants to buy in. Make sure that they've asked them pointedly, how many of these transactions have you done? How many have you sold in the last year? And how often will they communicate with you throughout the process? That's probably a key point for me.
What kind of numbers are we looking at there? How many homes or how many transactions would you want a good realtor to have?
Well, I can tell you that I personally would want to know that they've done 8 to 10, depending on what time of year you're talking about. But if it was, say, last year, how many transactions, I'd want to have a minimum of 8 to 10 transactions. Mm-hmm. And a good realtor would do anywhere, depending on the size of the market, anywhere from 12 to as many as 50 in a year.
Mm-hmm.
So I would certainly want them to have somewhere 8 to 10 transactions in the area that you're considering buying.
There's also some trade-off, I would guess, in what you're saying. We're talking with Chris Polycron. He's the president of the National Association of Realtors. I would guess that there's some trade-off, though. A realtor who did 50 transactions last year may be a great realtor but may not have a lot of time for you, whereas if it's a smaller number, you may get more personal attention.
Very well, very well perceived. I agree with you. But, again, I started with a minimum of 8 to 10. And I think if they've got 8 to 10, they're going to have the experience necessary, especially if they've been in the business maybe a couple of years anyway. I think being comfortable with that agent, if you interview them for any length of time, you're going to figure out their sincerity and how well prepared they are, et cetera, and just the presentation they make to you.
You know, it's you're making a great point here, and I before the break, I said maybe it's a little bit like interviewing a doctor. You know, here at Men's Health, we always say if you can't talk to your doctor, he or she's probably not a very good doctor for you. And that doesn't mean they're not a good doctor. It just means you're either comfortable. It just means you're either comfortable or you're not. And, Paul, you said earlier, you know, well, what you really look for is a kitchen. So you're probably going to want to find a realtor who understands what a great kitchen looks like. I would be a terrible realtor for you because I don't even see the kitchen. I'm out looking at the garage. But that's really an important point. You want to find someone who understands your values and can see what you're looking for so they know to immediately rush you there so you can see.
Oh, and a person that you like. Because when I first bought my home, you spend a lot of time with your realtor, and it's also somebody that needs to be willing to go to bat for you too. So not only you have to feel comfortable, but I think you also have to feel confident in the person's ability to get the deed done.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
And that's really, Chris, what you're saying is with experience gives you assurance that they actually know how to make this deal, present you in a way that makes sure you're the winning bidder and then knows how to follow through to get the deal done so you get the keys to the house.
And I think one other key ingredient that I don't want us to take for granted is that technology has become a huge part of our industry. And I would for sure want to do business with a realtor that understands how to use technology.
Mm-hmm.
Listings come on the market very quickly. If you subscribe, to Realtor.com, to Zillow, whoever, you're going to see listings come on. I promote Realtor.com because of its accuracy. It's accurate. The houses they say are for sale are for sale. But there's many avenues. There's many portals. And a good realtor will have access to all of them and see those listings as they come on first.
So the question I want to ask you, Chris, and we're talking with Chris Polycron, who's the president of the National Association of Realtors. This is a tough question, but I hope you'll take it seriously and answer it honestly. We've been talking about how a how someone who's a buyer or seller will interview a realtor to find the right realtor for them. As a realtor and as the president of the National Association of Realtors, are you also, in a sense, interviewing prospective clients? Are there some people who are not a good fit for you as well?
That is a good question. Let me say this truthfully. I have fired clients before.
And that's probably a good story for another time. I'd love to hear it.
But you're right. And had I done perhaps a better job on the front end interviewing my client, I might not have been put in that position. I'd like to think I could work with most all people, but at the same time, there could be a place where you could tell this client was going to demand, for instance, all of your time, because a good realtor is going to have several clients he may be working with at that particular time. I wouldn't be opposed to that, to answer your question.
Mm. And it also just seems to me that if someone approaches you about representing them and maybe they're interested in a part of your community that you're less familiar with, or a type of house, or in Paul's case, a real focus on something, whether it be a tricked out a garage or a tricked out kitchen or something like that, you might also look at that and realize you know another realtor that might actually be able to represent them in a better way. Does that sometimes happen?
That's true, but I think geographics location has more of a – I'll give you a little example. I mean, I live in Hot Springs, Arkansas. We have a retirement village that's probably 18 miles from – my area. But if you were to call me and want to look at Hot Springs Village, I don't know that market very well. And I would recommend a realtor in that market that knows the market better than I do.
And at the end of the day, I think if you're honest with prospective clients as a realtor, you're probably doing the entire industry a service.
Absolutely. And a good realtor will do that.
We've been talking with Chris Polycron. He's the president of the National Association of Realtors. We got a letter from our reader, Charlie, in Washington, D.C. Charlie wanted to know how to do a better job of bidding for a house so he would be the buyer. Chris, thanks for joining us on Men's Health Live. And when we come back, more great stuff from this month's issue of Men's Health Magazine. We will be right back.
The 2015 Dodge Challenger SRT Hellcat features a supercharged engine that delivers a whopping 707 horsepower, making it the fastest and most powerful muscle car ever. And with its iconic styling, power, and attitude, Dodge Hellcat SRT has everything a driver could want. And the passengers? Well, there's that little handle above the window. Born Dodge. Challenger based on Ward Specialty Segment and Car and Driver Quarter Mile Time. Dodge is a registered trademark of Chrysler Group, LLC.
This is Men's Health Live from Men's Health Magazine. Here are your hosts, Peter Moore and Greg Stebbin.
Welcome back to Men's Health Live. We are the guys who bring you Men's Health Magazine and menshealth.com. Sometimes we take a look at the most important things in your life, including a story by David Amsden called, "What If You Actually Gave Every Girl You Saw at a Bar Your Phone Number?" David, welcome to the show, and you have my curiosity up. What would happen if I gave my number to every girl at the bar?
I don't know. What do you think would happen?
I think I would have better luck than if I was being selective and discreet about it.
Yeah. Well, that's more or less what I found to be the case.
So give us the backstory on this. I mean, obviously, just from the title, we know that you went into a bar, or maybe you always go into bars, and instead of being shy or selective, you just said, "I'm going to take the shotgun approach. I'm going to give every girl I make eye contact with my phone number, and then I'm going to make eye contact with a lot of women."
I mean, not necessarily every girl I made eye contact with, but the idea of it was, you know, we're living in this age now with where we create these very carefully curated digital personas, and that translates into our dating life, whether it's on Tinder or OkCupid, where it's this very coy, risk-averse, let me make sure. You know, it's a way of, you know, kind of keeping the sting of rejection at bay. And the whole idea behind this little experiment, as kind of glib as it was in certain ways, was something a little bit more serious, which is what happens if we just crawl out behind these digital veils. And if we, or in this case, I saw someone who you know, I found compelling, you know, whatever that means. It, you know, part of it might be physical attraction, but there's also, there's just that something else. There's that something about someone you notice that strikes your curiosity. And so what I did is, instead of, oh, let me see if she's geotagged a photo on Instagram and I can leave a string of emoji and try to figure out who she is, or find a friend of a friend who knows her on Facebook. And, you know, what would happen if I just said, hey, I find you compelling. Here's my number. Give me a ring.
All right. So
that's on the most general, you know, that's where I came at this from.
So let's get a little background on this. I'm talking with David Amsden. He's the author of a book called Important Things That Don't Matter. He's a novelist. He's a writer. He writes for us here at Men's Health. And we sent him out to a bar with the idea that instead of using all the digital stuff to meet women, he would actually just walk up to them and use the English language and speak to them and hand them his phone number. Did you do this and then write the story, or did you do this because you were writing the story? What was the sequence of events here?
I did it because I was writing the story. I did it as kind of an experiment. I mean, granted, it is my life, and so I was, you know, more
yeah, and let us monkey with it, David.
as what would happen, yeah, and I was happy to play guinea pig. But it was something, you know, we were talking about it, I was talking about it with my editor, and we thought, you know, let's get back to basics here. Would you be willing to do this? And it wasn't just bars, you know, it was, you know, a yoga class. It was a, you know, organic food co-op. It was just kind of wherever an encounter with a woman, you know, who struck my curiosity came about.
So it was authentic curiosity, though. You weren't just spraying the room with your phone number. It really was somebody you were interested in.
Yeah, totally.
Okay. And I don't know, maybe you're interested in all women, and, you know, I can feel the same way. So help us understand. You're at a yoga studio, and there's a woman there you find compelling. Did you then... I mean, I'm actually asking for a description of a real-life event here. Did you go, oh, she's interesting, and then write down your name and your phone number? Or were you carrying pieces of paper with your name and phone number? Did you have cards printed? How did that work?
Oh, I had, you know, I generally always have a little Moleskine notebook on me, just as a writer.
Well, of course you do. Anybody who goes to a yoga class has a Moleskine notebook.
Exactly. So I would, you know, I would write my name and number in there and tear off a piece of paper and hand it to them.
So it was always spontaneous.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it was and did you walk up to a woman and say, "I find you compelling. I'm going to give you my number," and then write it down, or did you already have it written down?
I would already have it. You know, the idea was, you know, for the most part, I would think, okay, I'm going to give this woman my number, and then just kind of duck away back into the shadows. What actually ended up happening is it turned out to be a pretty nice icebreaker.
Yes.
You know, because you're not saying, I find, you know, oh, hey, can I buy you a drink? Or, you know, how about this weather or something, just a little, you know, you're kind of getting, you're going past that to the very point of what you want. And oftentimes I would just we'd end up chatting.
David, you're a closer.
I don't know how, you know, don't get me wrong. There was definitely some eye rolls. There was definitely people who thought, okay, this is his shtick and it's pretty lame. There were other people who thought, you know, what isn't a shtick at ground zero?
It's all a shtick, right? I mean, that's so,
right?
So we're going to take a break. I'm talking with David Amsden. He wrote the story, What Would Happen If You Gave Every Girl Your Number. When we come back, I want to find out about your success rate, how many of these women actually called, and how many of them you're still dating. I'm Greg Stebbin with David Amsden. This is Men's Health Live. We'll be right back.
Are you stressed, depressed, isolated, or even angry? There's no need to struggle alone in the darkness anymore. Patriot Outreach is an organization lending support to our warriors, veterans, and their families who suffer from the effects of post-war trauma and stress. U.S. Army's Colonel Tony Monaco discovered a very private, simple, non-intrusive tool that's helped him immensely in overcoming extreme adversities, and it can help you too. It's confidential, it's effective, and it's powerful. To learn more, go to patriotoutreach.org and let the healing begin.
Welcome back to Men's Health Live from the world's best-selling men's lifestyle magazine, Men's Health.
Welcome back to Men's Health Live. We are talking about your dating life. We sent David Amsden, writer David Amsden, out to
bars, a co-op, a natural foods co-op, a yoga class, anywhere he wanted to go. But his assignment was this. When you see a woman who's interesting, when you see a woman who's compelling, instead of trying to meet her with a pickup line or not trying to meet her at all, and instead of trying to find her online so you can make a digital connection with her, we want you to just walk up to her and say, "My name is David. Here's my number." And David, I was asking you before the break, how many women did you give your number to, and how many of those women actually called you?
I think, you know what, I think the when did I, you know, this was over the course of just a few days, so we're not talking huge numbers here, but maybe about 12. And I think.
And is that 12 more women? Is that 12 more women that you than you might have spoke to instead? I mean, did you actually start reaching out to women more as a result of sort of having a technique to try?
Oh yeah, I'm generally a pretty.
Oh yeah.
You know, I'm not a. You know, I would not characterize myself as overly aggressive by any means.
Okay.
So
okay.
I was definitely outside of my comfort zone, which. You know, which I think helped. You know, I talked to a psychiatrist about this, and you know what he said is
for the story, not for your own therapy, by the way. Okay,
yeah,
just want to clarify that. Okay.
You know, and he said, you know, if you seem like someone who is harmless and outside of their comfort zone, you're probably going to have a better percentage. So I would say, you know, in terms of my quote unquote on base percentage, to use a really crude. An unfortunate term in this, I would say, 50%. And that's not just women who.
Whoa. 50% called you?
Either called me or I ended up kind of, let's say I'm at a bar. This happened more than once. You know, you don't just say, "Here's my number," and walk away.
So it actually led to more conversation than you would have had without this idea.
Yeah, exactly. You end up having,
wow.
You know, it sort of ends up being an impromptu date, or you sit down and have coffee with someone, as happened once.
50% is huge.
Yeah. Not bad.
All right, so not bad. So when did you ever have 50% before you tried this?
Oh, God, I don't know, because like I said, prior to doing this, I don't think I'd ever, I never had done online dating, so
okay.
This was really the first time of me really going out there and putting myself on a limb in a blood
okay,
and silly
so,
wet.
So you're not married to one of these women. You're not still dating one of these women, but it
I'm
led
not
to
married.
Six.
I am not still dating any of them, but
okay.
I did go out with, I ended up going out with about five of them.
Wow.
And it was nice. You know, it's fun. And I think it's, in a lot of ways, I think it's one of the things people do like about online dating is you can go on OkCupid and within, a couple of hours, you can set up four dates over the next week, which is a lot harder to do walking into a bar. But
yes.
I did find, I found throughout the process my confidence increased. Because what
wow.
I found more often than not was, wow, that takes some moxie to do that. And I think, moxie is a quality that women have long appreciated in a man.
Huh.
Everyone thought it was a little ridiculous, but who doesn't appreciate someone who's willing to be a little bit ridiculous,
All right. Last question, David Amsden, who wrote the story, "What If You Gave Every Girl Your Number?" Are you still doing this?
I am not still doing this. But what I did take away from it is, I think at the end of the day, I don't really love a shtick to incorporate into my personal life. I think part of the reason this was successful for me is it seemed like an awkward shtick I was attempting rather than something I had perfected over years. But that said, I am much more confident to just walk up to someone now and say, "Hey, how are you today?"
I love
that. How's your day going?
I love
that. And I don't, and what you realize is, some people are receptive to that. Some people aren't, and that's okay. It's not some huge gavel of judgment down on you one way or the other. It's not a check in the win box or a check in the losing box. It's somewhere in the middle. But that's been my takeaway from it, and I like that.
And that's a pretty fabulous takeaway. David, thanks for writing this story. Thanks for doing it. And thanks for learning something from it. That's really a very valuable lesson for all of us. David Amsden, he wrote the story, What If You Actually Gave Every Girl Your Number? He's also a novelist, the author of the book Important Things That Don't Matter.
Coming up next week on Men's Health Live, more great stuff from this month's issue of Men's Health Magazine. Thanks for looking us up on the web at menshealth.com, and thanks for joining us again next week.
If the measure of a car was how many people it turned into people who love cars, the Subaru Outback would be worth its weight in gold, thanks largely to its symmetrical all-wheel drive. Unlike other systems that wait for a wheel to slip, it powers all four wheels all the time, all while with better fuel economy than midsize SUVs. And the fact that the Outback is made in a zero landfill plant doesn't hurt either. It's a car that is truly built to be loved. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.